Grade 7 Conference, Lecture 20, Coordinating Conjunctions, Conclusion. Now we're going to look at one last aspect of the coordinating conjunction, which is what happens when the coordinating conjunction joins two independent clauses. And as I've said more than once, you may not be saying much at all about clauses at this point. And this then may be an extra subject, but it probably, again, will come up in the course of the children's writing. Of course, it's like, you know, you can drive a car without knowing every detail of the engine and exactly what's going on at every moment. And students can often use the English language beautifully and even powerfully without themselves being aware of all that they're doing. For students who are more comfortable with grammar and who are good writers, they often like to know what it's called. So this will come up once again because you're doing the creative writing, of which we're going to be speaking soon. So you have two independent clauses. Now you have twice as many punctuation options. So here, back to our bananas example. I eat a lot of bananas, and I've recommended them to my friends. So there, no comma whatsoever is needed. Another way of putting it. My friends like bananas, comma, but they can live without them. Now the word but brings a kind of oppositional quality into the sentence. Keep an eye for this. Children will naturally put a lot of polarities in their sentences. Once again, that's very much the signature, the hallmark of the astral body. So that's going to happen again and again. And that comma can be a wonderful fulcrum for the lever, for the balance beam that you hope their sentence turns into. Here's another possibility of working with two independent clauses. Bananas won't disagree with your stomach, semicolon, nor will they talk back. Now the semicolon, here put again before a sort of not exactly oppositional polarity, but two negatives in a row, the semicolon gives a greater pause. The comma allows a slight breathing. The semicolon, more of a breathing, a somewhat deeper breath. The colon, yet a greater breath, and the period, almost a kind of death-like ending. We're holding our breath until the next sentence comes. The astral body is very connected to our breathing. So here again, conjunctions and the punctuation marks preceding them or accompanying them can be very important aids for the children in this regard. Or you can go all the way. I never met a banana I didn't like, yet some are rather spoiled, comma, I must admit. So independent clauses, and working with them in a somewhat creative way. You can use the semicolon and also the period because you have these options because a coordinating conjunction does not affect the independence of a clause. It remains independent. Independent clauses that begin with coordinating conjunctions are still independent, which means that they can take a semicolon or a period to the left of them. So why do you, you know, even point this out to the students? Because it's going to have a very different effect. You're saying the same thing, but the coordinating conjunction that you're using and the way in which you are punctuating, this is where your style really comes about. You may want to convey that the upcoming clause, that which is coming from the future, is the second half of a little story that you're telling, a two-part story. or you may want to give it maximum attention, showcase it by making it a new sentence altogether. So why do you need a conjunction then? If you can do that, why not just let independent clauses be separate sentences? Here it's not so much for effect, but rather for meaning. Because conjunctions carry meaning. They're not just sort of connecting things in a value-neutral way. Even "and" is implying that there is a parallelism, that there is an egalitarian quality to the clauses. They tell us how the upcoming clause is related to the previous clause. So let's say somebody reading a sentence sees the word "yet." He knows that a contrast is going to follow. When he sees the word "so," something's going to be proven. Some result will occur following that cause. And when he sees "or," he's ready for an alternative. So there you can see these little words are pointing to something that's to come. They're future directed, as well as we saw having to follow the rules that you laid down at the beginning of your list, the beginning of your sentence. And little things can have a very, very great effect. So just some rules of thumb about the punctuation. So you have a first clause. The punctuation can be affected in the following ways. If you want the second clause to be read without a pause, if it's just flowing out of the first one, don't punctuate. If you want the slight pause after your opening clause, use a comma. If you want your two clauses to appear as two halves of a whole, place a semicolon between them. So how we're dealing with these polarities and making them harmonies. If you want your second clause to receive the most attention possible, type a period and make a new sentence out of it. So that's a way in which we work with coordinating clauses. And as I say, they're little things. The punctuation differences, many students will just groan and say, "Who cares? Doesn't make a difference." But this is the point in seventh grade. Little things can make a huge difference. This is, remember, the growth of the consciousness soul, the time of something in which the human individuality, the actions of one individual, can change history. And so they need to see that even the humble little bit players in the great drama of a sentence, those humble little conjunctions can play a very, very great role and make a very big difference. And it refines their hearing. They're really listening. And it helps to harmonize their breathing as they work with the possibilities of punctuation that surround the use of conjunctions. So with that, we will conclude our work with grammar per se and go now into the very first creative writing block that the students experience in seventh grade.